All right, let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. We'll pray for you. Look, I really want to pray for peace in the world today. Tensions are high as the President Putin discussed Ukraine and where that may lead. Of course, you know, we'll keep our prayers coming for the Uyghurs and for those abused in China and for China's ambitions. And I want to pray for our own country, for the sin that is in this country, the rejection of God, the embracement of things that are contrary to God's law. Because when you stray from God like that, when you embrace sinful behavior and accept sinful ideology, there's consequence. And it's only the mercy of God that will continue to bring us protection and the blessing that I know you and I both want. So let's pray for our country. Let's pray for the conversion of our leaders, that they'll govern in a moral way. And, of course, let's pray for you, whatever your intentions are. I'd love to lift them up. Let me just share a couple of quick ones that have come in here. This person says, I need prayer ASAP, Drew. Please pray for my friend John. He's being admitted to the hospital with COVID, difficult time breathing, and he has difficulty breathing and low water, H2O, he says here. He's been pretty sick now for 9 days. All right, Tom, we're praying for him. Michelle writes, could you pray for my friend Jose, who's in ICU with COVID? His son says he is close to death. Would you pray that if he is called home, he'll be taken to heaven? His wife, Mary, passed away on the 24th. Oh, my gosh. Please pray for the repose of his wife's soul. He was the person that introduced me to Relevant Radio, was instrumental in bringing me into a fuller faith. Another person wrote, could you pray for my son, Philip? His heart is failing now. They're going to do a procedure, praying that it will help. Let's pray for these critical moments. A lot of people approaching death every moment, and I just want to pray for those who are really facing these difficult moments, that God will be merciful. We'll see a real turnabout in health and conditions and a second chance. Chuck in Indiana got your email, too, in Chesterton, Indiana. He says he's asking prayers for the repose of his sister, Grace, who would have been 56 on December 1st. Praying for his older brother, and he's praying for his mother as well. Says she's the strongest person I know and is the glue that holds us together. Also praying for my family. Chuck, thank you. We'll pray for each other. In the studio with me today, Dan Axt. And Dan, of course, good to have you with me. Anything you want to pray for or lift up as we kick off our chaplet?
Well, hey, Drew, it's good to be with you. I just remembered that my Grandpa Axt, he passed away on December 6th, and that was 24 years ago as of yesterday. So I just want to pray for him, pray for his soul. And, just for my parents, Jim and Sheila Axt, and for everyone back home in Milwaukee.
That's great.
And just for personal intentions.
I want to pray for a lady I met at church today. I went to Mass on the eve of the Immaculate Conception. I went to go to confession and then to Mass to pray for my wife and I for our anniversary. And she told me it was the 100th anniversary of her father who died on this day, you know, and I thought, man, that's great. He served in World War II, she told me, and so she had Mass offered. So I'm praying for you, and I'm going to pray for all of your intentions as they come in. Let me share one quick answered prayer here, and then we'll pray. This came in from Cynthia, I'm sorry, listening in Arizona. She says, look, hi, Drew. Journey to sell our home began in 2019. It was first place on the market. Escrow fell through, which actually was a blessing. Home was then used as a rental for 2019-2020. And during December 2020, we called to ask for, I guess, prayer to receive a buyer. My husband was ill with bronchitis, so we declined to consider an offer. Late December came with a note requesting to purchase our home as is. The young couple wanted to return back and begin a family. They had seen pictures of our home, noting the divine mercy pictures in our living room and in our backyard, a statue of the Blessed Mother. I had the same thing. How cool. They showed pictures of our home to their parents, who inquired about divine mercy. The offer was accepted. The home sold for much more than anticipated. Drew, I just want to let everybody know who's trying to sell a home. God knows the right time to sell. And then ours was to this young couple. Escrow closed on February. We'll close February 2021. Sleeping St. Joseph is amazing. And so all prayers have been answered. Blessings to the staff at Relevant. So, hey, congratulations on your sale. To that email, you know what I love about that? God's timing's perfect. Not ours. God's timing is so perfect. Just wait on him. That's why I refuse to worry. I say all the time, God, your will, not mine. you know, if you want to answer my prayer today, great. If you want me to wait a year, fine. But your time, not mine. For the spouse you're looking for the sale of the home, for that job promotion, for that time to get out of debt, you know, for that time to defeat your illness, God's time. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Andrea, listening in St. Charles, Illinois. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
To call, like so many, for my cousin Dawn, who is in the hospital with COVID in intensive care, and the doctors said there's a possibility she will not survive.
Oh, no.
And so I'd like to pray for her in this season of miracles. We need a miracle. And I'd like to pray. My daughter is getting married, but she does not want to be married in the Catholic Church, even mm-hmm. though she's been raised Catholic. So I'd like to pray for that. And for all who are sick and suffering, especially with COVID.
Andrew, hang in there. All right. Keep praying for your daughter. All right. I'm going to pray for her now, too. And I'm sorry for all the crosses that you're going through right now. We will certainly pray for, we're going to pray for all those with COVID too. I think it was her cousin with COVID and her daughter. So I pray for your cousin. Today it seems like I bumped into somebody before I came into the studio here, and they told me that there have been more cases of COVID than we had almost a year ago almost. It seems like, hey, you would think they'd be diminishing, but we're seeing another big spike. I don't know how true that is, but from all these emails and from all these calls we're now getting, Lord, I just ask for your mercy. When it comes to COVID, I ask for the vanquishing of this wretched disease. I ask that you mitigate it, you bring protection and healing to those battling it. Lord, if it is a doorway to eternal life for some, then I ask that you meet them as a merciful Savior. But I do ask right now for Andrea and all the intentions that she's voiced. United to all who pray with me as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Mary's listening in Piers, Minnesota. Hi, Mary. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I would like some prayers from my husband who had a knee replacement 3 years ago, and now he's having surgery today to treat a bad infection in that knee, and they're flushing it with antibiotics and trying to get rid of it, and would like some prayers for a successful surgery and a successful outcome, because even after the surgery, we'll have to have him on IV antibiotics for probably 6 weeks. So we just hope that we can get rid of that so we don't have to do anything else, like take the knee out again or anything like that.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to pray right now. I'm glad you got through today, and I give you Mary, who's concerned for her husband. I give her husband in particular. And we just pray, Lord, that this treatment be successful. I pray for anyone right now having, you know, suffering these types of issues. I pray for anyone who's having orthopedic problems, anyone who's having hip and joint and shoulder replacements, Lord. And I just pray for the body as it battles these different infections and illnesses, Lord, that you will send your grace and you restore health and healing to those seeking it. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I want to pray for a priest. Just came to mind. Okay? He wrote to me back in October, and Father, if you're listening, I'll keep your name anonymous. All right? But he was falsely accused recently. And I just want to pray for him. I'm hoping you're praying with me right now. And I won't even mention your state, but I received your letter back in October. And just want to know that you've been on my thoughts, and the Holy Spirit just put you on my heart. So we're praying for you. All right. I want to pray for any priest who's been falsely accused, anybody who's facing false allegations right now, any person who's incarcerated there for the wrong reasons as well. And I just ask for freedom, liberty, and truth to manifest. Maggie's monitoring our Twitter page at Drew Mariani Show. I hope you'll follow us there. You can also post your petitions there. Maggie often shares them with us here during the chat. But Maggie, what's coming in?
We've got a couple more staff requests, Drew. Celine, who sometimes prays with you, she said that her grandmother passed away this weekend. Her name was Elaine McCarthy. So I'd like to pray for the repose of her grandmother's soul and for Celine's whole family. And we did just get a note from Tom. He said that this was on Twitter that he saw. Please pray for Bob and Rita's family, who both passed away from COVID about 2 weeks apart. Also, Irv was hospitalized for about 2 months with COVID, now back in the hospital on a ventilator. So let's pray for Bob and Rita and Irv. And then as far as Twitter, we got a couple of requests here. Chris wrote to us and said, "Hey, Drew, I started training with Google today, and I'm starting to feel overwhelmed. Please ask my relevant radio family to pray to the Holy Spirit that I would have clarity if it's God's will." He said, "Also praying for you and Maggie."
I love it. Yeah. We appreciate it. You know, here's the thing. When you start a new job like that, it can be totally overwhelming.
Sure.
I've always come to, one of the lessons of life I've learned is that nothing is as difficult as it seems. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe going into it, you're thinking, "Oh my Lord, how will I ever get through this?" And you look back in retrospect, you know, months later, or maybe even a couple of years later, you think, wow. I remember my first radio broadcast. It was that way. I thought, never be able to do this, you know, it's just so overwhelming.
Me too.
and now it's like, gosh, I love this, you know, it's so easy, you know, it's just fun. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's how life is. But, all right, well, let's pray for those intentions. Maggie, is that it? That's what's coming?
Got a couple more. Marcia wanted to pray for Joe Nicosa, who passed away on the 30th of November, and also for a coworker whose father passed away. And then Sherry is praying for her daughter, who has fourth stage metastatic cancer. So she's got a lot of pain and suffering with that. So let's pray for Sherry and her daughter. And then, Drew, I just wanted to lift up you and your wife for your anniversary and any intentions you guys might have.
Thank you very much. I do want to pray for my beautiful wife. She has made me a better man. She really has. She is she's such a saint. So I'm so grateful for her and the blessing of her in my life. You know, God is certainly you know, he's blessed me in that area. So let's bring Lisa into the conversation. We'll add her to our third deck here as we continue our chat. But Lisa, good afternoon. I guess I should where you're from.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I would like to pray for my husband, who suffers from frontal temporal dementia, and all families who are dealing with dementia and the caregiving involved. And then also for my nephew who lives with same-sex attraction, and I'd like to pray for all those who struggle with that. Amen. And lift them up today. Thank you.
Amen. You got it. Thank you very much, Lisa. I want to pray for all your personal needs, but especially for your husband. I want to pray for anyone going through dementia, Alzheimer's, you know, any sort of cognitive challenge, any head trauma. Lord, I just ask for healing in that area especially, and how difficult it is for the loved ones, so fortify them. I do pray for those who are not living in an ordered way, for those who are cohabitating, for those who are giving into impurity in whatever fashion it may be. And Lord, I just ask for mercy and how much you love us, you love all of us. And we just ask for your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Alma's listening in Clearwater, Florida. Hi, Alma. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I would like to thank you for praying for my granddaughter. She had her wedding last Saturday, and it was Christ-filled, as I requested for.
Amen. That's great. Well, let's pray in Thanksgiving for that then, okay, Alma? We'll pray for continued graces on her. You got it. And I want to pray for all your needs. I want to bring Margaret into the call here, too. She is listening to us in Connecticut. Hi, Margaret. Good afternoon.
Hi. I want to pray for a couple. They have two small children, a four-year-old and an 18-month-old. Yeah. They moved out of state in a camper, and they have broken down like three or four times already, and now they're stranded in somewhere in Indiana, not at their destination yet, right. And huge bills of the repair of things that they already repaired and already paid for before they left their home right. state. And now they have a hotel bills and everything, and they have been out of work because of the delays. They quit their jobs and could not leave right away because of all the repairs and so many delays. Thousands of dollars later,
so,
they finally left, and now they're hit with this, and it's a real test of faith.
All right, well, let's pray for them right now, Margaret. I would pray for anyone who's struggling right now financially, anyone who's having transportation issues. I'm going to pray for those who are homeless and need a place to stay. I bumped into a woman today. I had no cash on me. I never have cash, unfortunately. My heart went out to her because she's living in a homeless shelter. And I just wanted to take her to lunch. I just wanted to do something nice for her. So I'm going to pray for her as well. We pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Lewis praying with us in Chicago. Hi, Lewis. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. I'd like to have prayer for this family that their house caught fire about a week ago. The mother's name is Melissa. The son is Brandon, and the father is John. The lady lost her mother in the fire. The 7-year-old boy got burns, and he's at a good burn center here in the Chicago area.
Wow.
And just pray for their healing. And I don't know where they're at in their faith, but that God would that they would see the compassion and love and healing of our precious Lord and Savior.
Yeah, it's tough. Thank you, Lewis. I want to pray for your needs, too. I know you're reaching out for this family who lost the mother in a fire. And tragedy is a mystery, and we spoke about it a little bit earlier. It's one of the great mysteries of life. God brings good out of every situation. It was hard to get our head around that. But I want to pray for that family. I can't imagine losing somebody in tragedy, especially fire. And I just ask for healing and peace and comfort and for new beginnings, and pray for all the intentions you voice. And Maggie, can I sneak one more? Let me get Christy in California. I understand her husband just passed away. Christy, how are you?
Hello, I'm Drew.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, I'm so sorry that I'm crying on the phone, but I just love my husband, and I just don't know what to do with myself. I'm in despair, and we're trying to raise money for his funeral, and that just makes it worse. And I'm in despair. Oh. I don't even know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Oh, Christy.
I'm in so much pain. I feel like I'm going to die.
I'm so sorry. Well, let me just say, Christy, you will get through this. I promise you. I know right now it doesn't feel that way, and you don't see that. But I'm telling you, right now you have so many people in your spiritual family praying for you. Graces are going to come. And I'm telling you, God's providence is going to be there for you as well. And I want you to stay on hold when we're done the chapel, because I do want to talk to you, okay? And I want you to go away. But here's the thing. I want you just to put your trust in the Lord. That's what you've got to do right now. It's a very difficult time, because you will one day, I promise you this, you will one day be reunited with your husband, okay? Life is short. It is very short. And your husband can love you in a greater capacity now. He's more united to you than you'll ever be. So let's trust in the Lord. And Faustina wrote in her diary, she says, when my soul is in anguish, she says this, she says, I think only in this way. She says, Jesus is good. He is full of mercy. And even if were the ground to give way beneath my feet, I would not cease to trust him. So put your trust in the Lord. Scripture tells us, right? Proverbs 3:5, trust the Lord with your whole heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. The Lord told Faustina, encourage souls to trust in my mercy, because if they have complete confidence in me, I will do everything for them. So we're praying for you, Christy. You're going to get through this, I promise you, okay? I promise you. Stay on the line. I'm going to talk to you at the break, but let's pray right now. And your spiritual family is lifting you up in this very difficult time. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I'll be right back. Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
Newly released autism numbers suggest more children in the U.S. are being diagnosed with a developmental condition and at younger ages. In a study of 2018's data, the CDC researchers found that among 8-year-olds, 1 in 44 had been diagnosed with autism. That compares with 1 in 54 kids in 2016. Experts believe the increase reflects more awareness and wider availability of special autism services.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's an alarming report. Autism is a condition, if you're not familiar with it, that has become far more common in the last 30 years or so. But it's something that's been around a lot longer than that. Maybe it was not called autism, but people would have recognized, you know, that person's having something just perhaps not right with them. About 10 years ago, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they said that about one, I think the number I saw, I could be wrong, this was 1 in 150 or 1 in 140. Maybe it was 1 in 140, right? At the age of 8, we're being diagnosed with what they call broad spectrum of disorders. 1 in 140 kids, you know, were being diagnosed with autism, right? Then a couple years later, the number went down even lower. You know, they placed it at, I think, 1 in 67. Then it went down to 1 in 54. Now, in the report I just heard, the CDC is saying that it's 1 in 44 at the age of 8. So we're seeing an increase in the number of kids being diagnosed with this. And the question for me is why? What's behind it? Yeah, do we have answers? I mean, some people speculate. Is it some chemicals that mothers are using while, you know, in their makeups, their soaps, their shampoos, their perfumes? Birth control? Is there something to do with vaccines? That has already been dismissed. I shouldn't have even thrown that out there. A lot of people say, oh, it's vaccines. Well, I know the CDC and others say there's no connection at all to vaccines and autism. But why? Why are we seeing numbers go from 1 in 150, 1 in 140 something, now to 1 44, 1 in 44? You know, the CDC says that more 4-year-olds now are getting diagnosed with it, which they say is good news because the earlier the problems are found, the better chances of getting kids the right resources. Could it just be better diagnostics? I mean, maybe it's something as simple as that, right? Maybe we just, you know, we really didn't look at this. We know a lot more about it. We're diagnosing it in greater number. We're diagnosing it earlier. Maybe that's the answer. There are some people who are not convinced that these numbers are accurate. And, of course, I always want to be fair. I want to be balanced here with you. I want to, you know, just not throw a number at you and say, hey, it's 1 in 44. I reached out to a friend of mine, another physician. He's a well-known child psychiatrist about the numbers and said, what do you make of this? Because I just find them staggering. You know, he wasn't able to come on today because he had some scheduling conflicts. Dr. Meg Meeker is going to be joining us. We're going to get her take on this. He tends to think those numbers are inflated. His comments to me was that he thinks autism is just overdiagnosed in the United States. He didn't say really anything more than that, but it almost seems like this is becoming the new ADD, you know, ADHD diagnosis or you know, the new tonsil problem, he says. So what's the truth? What do we know? I'm joined right now by Dr. Meg Meeker. She's a pediatrician. She's a mother. She's a best-selling author of 6 different books and one of our nation's leading authorities on parenting. And it's good to have her with us. Check her website out, too. I'll give you this quickly. I'll give it to you again. It's meekerparenting.com if you want to get connected to her or her great work. Meeker, M-E-E-K-E-R, parenting.com. Hey, doctor, good afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me on, Drew.
Always a delight. I don't know what your take on this is. I mean, I'm a civilian, you know, I'm a civvy here, and I'm looking at these numbers. You're the expert. You're the physician. 1 in 44, is it overdiagnosis, or is there something that's driving these numbers? Because every time I report on this, that number is, you know, getting greater and greater in terms of how many kids are being diagnosed with this.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with your psychiatrist friend. I think they're overinflated. I think 1 in 44 is extraordinary. And certainly if we had that many, you would have pediatricians all over the place with kids with autism spectrum disorder in their offices. And it's nowhere near that high. I really do think that there are several reasons that it's being overdiagnosed. And one is, you have no longer just autism. You know, we think of, you know, 30 years ago, autism meant it was very clear that the child was socially a little bit awkward, high intelligence and so forth. But now we have the autism spectrum disorders. So it's anything from kids who really can't function to people who, you know, like Steve Jobs or people like that. I heard he had it. I'm not sure. Very, very high functioning people that are just a little nerdy, you know, they're just sort of the absent-minded professor types. And I think that we're putting too many people on the ASD category that don't necessarily belong there, particularly for 8-year-old kids. I'll be honest, you know, you've got to be an extraordinary psychiatrist to diagnose an 8-year-old child with autism, particularly the subtle nuances of autism, like Asperger's.
Right. No, I agree with the doctor. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's okay.
You started. I'm curious too. For those who don't know what we're talking about, maybe you can define or explain what exactly autism is. Is there an exact definition for this, and are we seeing, you know, maybe historically more today than we were in the past? I know you say it might be as a result of better diagnosis, but are there environmental factors that are playing into this as well? Are the numbers on the rise? Maybe they're a little inflated because of our diagnosis, but is there evidence to show that the trajectory is showing that autism is on the rise?
Autism is on the rise, and I really don't think it's just a matter of better diagnostic skills or increased awareness. I do think it's overdiagnosed, but I do think there's a true rise in the incidence of autism or people on the ASD spectrum in the United States. Physicians are keenly aware of it, particularly since the whole debacle of the MMR vaccine, you know, which of course has been disproved now. But I think that all physicians really sort of perked their ears up and said, we're going to be on the lookout for kids with autism. We know there's a genetic component to it. So if you have a dad with autism, you're more likely to have than someone without autism, an autistic child. Now, the symptoms of autism, you know, the soft symptoms in a young child are a child who has difficulty making eye contact, a child who is hypersensitive to sound, a child who is socially a little bit off and doesn't necessarily want to hug people. But certainly there are kids on the spectrum that will hug people. Kids who have repetitive behaviors or want to play only with one toy, or they want to eat only one color of food. Now, parents out there are going to go, oh, my child only eats chicken nuggets. No, that's not what I'm saying. These are some of the symptoms. Also, you can have children who have explosions. You know, they'll be fine, and then all of a sudden they just explode. And I don't mean a temper tantrum. I mean a child who screams and yells for 45 minutes and is out of control, and it comes out of the blue. So even things as simple as that can lead us to think, huh, could it be autism? So I think that when physicians see a constellation of symptoms, some that I just mentioned, they're much more likely to send that child for a full evaluation of autism. If a child does have autism, it is very important that they get help early. So, you know, we as physicians have to be very, very careful. We don't want to tag a child with Asperger's or autism if they don't have it. But at the same time, if they do have it, we want them to make sure to get help as early as possible. So it's a little bit tricky for physicians.
I can only imagine. Anne Marie is listening to us in the beautiful state of Massachusetts. Anne Marie, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Big Beaker.
Hi, Drew and Doctor. I would like to mention that my grandson, when he was a toddler, he had an excellent vocabulary. And after one of his series of vaccinations, one day, he had a bad reaction and he stopped talking totally. And then later on, he was diagnosed with autism. You can't tell me that there's no, that it's been, it, maybe it's been dismissed. but I don't believe that vaccines have no relation to the cause of autism. I believe they're giving too many vaccines at one time. The number of vaccines that children receive now are much, much higher than 30 years ago.
Anne-Marie, let's talk about that for a moment. And, Doctor, you heard what she had to say. And if you're just joining us, we're talking today with Dr. Meg Meeker about a CDC report indicating that the rate of kids being diagnosed at the age of 8 is now 1 in 44 with autism. And when it comes to the mystery of autism, I'm not an expert. I this is something that I know is incredibly challenging for a lot of families. And there are a lot of things to look at. Some people think that we swim in a chemical soup, that there's electrical radiation, it can be environmental, it can be genetic, it can be caused by viruses during pregnancy. Nobody really knows, I guess, the cause of this. But one of the things that's been floated out there, Doctor, is the fact that vaccines, I mean, there's this battery of vaccinations everybody's having, and they're concerned that there's a link. I know that's been discounted, and I'd love you to address that. And again, if you have other evidence, I'd love to hear it.
Sure. You know, we do know that the MMR has been completely discounted. Actually, what happened is many years ago, some physicians reported that they saw autism after the kids had been given the MMR vaccine, which was given at 15 months. But then they realized it was it wasn't a cause and effect. It was an association, and that they were wrong. So they came out and recanted and said, you know what, this wasn't a study, it was an observation. And so that has been disproved. I understand how parents balk at the number of vaccinations that we give kids. I really understand that. I've been around long enough to have seen polio and epiglottitis from Hib and, diphtheria and pertussis. These are terrifying illnesses because I've seen them, and I've seen kids truly almost die. Meningitis, I've seen, and I don't see that anymore. On the other hand, it does feel kind of overwhelming to parents to see their kids get injected with a lot of immunizations early in life. But I think we have to be careful, and I really respect what this woman was talking about. But there are a couple of things. Her story is what we call anecdotal. It isn't a study. It's, she experienced in her grandson.
Let me stop you on that point, Doctor, just for a second, because really this whole controversy started, I think, back in 1998 when the British medical journal The Lancet published an article. They made the claim that there was a link between autism and vaccines because of the mercury in vaccines. Eventually, that controversy became so heated that they withdrew the article, and the doctor who wrote the article was completely discredited by the medical community. But I know it goes back to at least 1998, and you're right. A lot of this is anecdotal, but I just wanted to interject that because there's some people say, I thought there was a study done. I'll let you finish your thought.
But there have been numerous studies since, and I wish I were by my computer, I could cite them. Mercury's been taken out. It's the thimerosal. It's taken out. Because, physicians and researchers hear people when they say things. It's not like, physicians and researchers go, oh, you're just crazy. They really hear people and they take it seriously. And then more studies are done. I will tell you, I talked about anecdotal evidence. I've been practicing over 30 years. I see, when mothers of autistic kids, I talk to them and we think back. Many of them know that their children have an issue at 3 or 4 months of age. And so they'll just say, I thought some, particularly parents who have multiple children, and say, this child was just different. And I noticed this or I noticed that. I do believe, I think it's there are multiple factors going on here. I think genetics is clearly involved. I feel pretty comfortable now that immunizations have been dismissed as having caused autism. It doesn't mean that in the future, one might not be linked. I have a sense that there might be something environmental going on too. think of what we have that people are exposed to that they even weren't exposed to in the 1990s. And I know Dr. Leonard Sachs, who you've had on, is fabulous, and he knows a lot about this too. And I really do think we're going to discover at some time that there are factors in the environment that are playing into this. And maybe even something that mothers are taking in, unbeknownst to them, while they're pregnant. Because we do see autism in very, very, very young kids when you really look back and look back at the history of the child and development and so forth.
Yeah, well, doctor, I got to hold it right there. So stay with me. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. I only have Dr. Meeker for a few minutes. If you've got a question, a comment you want to sound off, we're taking a look at the latest study regarding the rise of autism in children. And I know it's alarming if those numbers are indeed authentic. I'm hoping they are just overinflated, overanalyzed. The number here, 888-914-9149. You can call right now. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
That's a good bumper. Good afternoon and welcome. It's good to be back with you today. I'm joined by Dr. Meg Meeker. We'll take a few of your calls in the remaining minutes of this hour. Coming up in the next hour, I want to take a look at what's happening with the pandemic. A lot of hair loss. This is another very, I think, revealing story. And we'll take a look at alternative medicine, natural remedies, a whole lot of other fun stuff just to get into today, something a little bit different in the show. If you want to check out Dr. Meeker, and I hope you'll do that, she has written a couple books, I think six of them to be exact. And her website is meekerparenting.com. Doctor, let's jump right back into the phones. We'll go to Nancy in Wausau, Wisconsin. Nancy, hi, you're on the air with Dr. Meeker.
Oh, hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling in a situation where our three-year-old grandson will, the daycare where he goes to, will say to our daughter, he has signs of autism. So she then went to her family doctor, and she said, no, I don't see any of these concerns. But then every now and then, the daycare will bring it back up again that he has it. And some of the symptoms you've said, he does have some of these in some settings, not all the time. So I'd like you just to maybe share a little bit of your information on that, and I'll say thank you very much.
Right, thank you.
Sure. Well, that's very interesting. You know, first of all, if kids truly have autism, symptoms don't usually come and go. They're there in both settings, at home and, you know, at school. However, you know, mothers usually have a gut sense of what is going on. And usually I'll just look at mothers and say, do you think that your child could have this? I mean, what is your gut telling you? So I trust mothers' guts a lot, and even grandmothers. I guess what I would say is that a pediatrician quickly dismissed mom's concerns. That's not good. And you can have a child tested. I would send the child to a good child psychiatrist and have a full evaluation done, because pediatricians aren't trained to do full diagnostic evaluations of autism, and because it takes some time. So that's what I would encourage your daughter to do, is to take him or her to a child psychiatrist.
All right. Well said. Thank you very much, Nancy, for your call. Lisa's listening in New York State. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Hey. I'm well. Thanks.
I think autism can be caused by the many anti-anxiety drugs that half the population is on. They start young, and when they get pregnant, both the mother and the father, and these drugs, I think, can cause autism in a baby.
Yeah, doctor, it goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier. Lisa, thank you. She thinks anti-anxiety drugs. A lot of women take contraception. We know a lot of these higher levels of estrogen are in the water supplies. I don't know. I mean, it's probably not any one thing. It could be a combination of things. But your thoughts on Lisa's comments.
Yeah, I do. I think she brings up a valid point. I think that when we really sit down and start to look at what adults are putting into their bodies, you know, it can be pretty startling, particularly compared to what people put in their bodies in the 1950s, or maybe we'll discount the 60s. But I think we are going to find that there's several factors. We also know, for instance, that increased paternal age put somebody at higher risk of having an autistic baby. Why? I don't know. You know, could it be that that dad has taken something, you know, put it in his body longer? We just don't know. I just wanted to say one thing about a couple things about immunizations. Right. I never force people to take immunizations. The insurance companies put tremendous pressure on doctors. As a matter of fact, they will not pay us if we don't have our kids immunized at certain times. In our practice, we don't do that. Here's one thing parents can do. A lot of them don't know about. You can ask your physician to order immunization separately. For instance, you don't have to have one immunization that immunizes against three viruses. You can say, I want the Hib one, and then I want a DPT, and then I want a hepatitis. You don't have to get these immunizations that are all together. Most parents don't know that, but I will often do that for my patients who are very skeptical, and I'll say, okay, let's give you one at a time. We'll wait a couple months and give you another. That's not very frequently done, but I wanted listeners to know that you can have that.
All right. Lisa, thank you for your call. Do I have time? I'll take one more call in here. Tom, listening in Long Beach, California. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you? Let me pull off of the speaker. Yeah, right, I got you. A boy that that was completely normal up through 6 months, and he got the DTaP, and within about 45 minutes, he was screaming and yelling and in absolutely inconsolable pain. I called 911 and thought he was going to die. And the very next morning was like a candle had been blown out. He was gone. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get him to look at me. And he has autism. He's 15 now. You know, and I can't help to think that, you know, when I was a kid, I had 11 shots. But nowadays, mm-hmm. the regimen's somewhere around 72. You know, so and it does. Do I think heredity is a part of it? Absolutely. The reason I say that is about 2 years into the diagnosis, you know, I told my family, my brother and I, very smart people, we researched these things, and he calls me up in 2 years, and you might get a kick out of this. He goes, hey, Tom. I goes, yes. He goes, I have Asperger's. I goes, I know. And he hung up. And I go, you're not a very social person.
I know.
No, Tom, thanks. Yeah. I have a minute left. Let me give the doctor final thoughts. I love it. Great call. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, I would never, ever dispute your experience. Absolutely. And I don't know if there's an association or there's a cause and effect. It's really hard to say. I think that, you know, many times people think that physicians and researchers are against them and all we're trying to do is push, push, push. That's absolutely not true. I think many times people feel that physicians are the enemy. We are not your enemy. We're trying to do the best for your kids we can. One thing we do see the other side is we see these diseases and we know how horrible they are. And we're living in an age where we don't see these. And so a lot of times people don't think it's not a big deal. My kids don't need to be immunized because nothing's out there. So we're trying to walk a real tight rope here.
Well, doctor, always a delight to have you and your expertise. I hope people will check out your website, meekerparenting.com, and check out your great books. We'll have to have you back again. If we don't talk before Christmas, have a blessed Advent, okay?
Great. And you as well, Drew. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Dr. Meg Meeker. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be right back.